much, Lauren. What a blessing. Wonderful song. Thank you so much for being with us this morning and singing for us today, and I appreciate that. Well, we'll get into our message this morning. Thank you again so much for joining us. And if you're just joining us, we welcome you and thank you. If you're joining us on radio, again, I mentioned this is Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right here on Suncrest Street in Gray, Tennessee. And I'm Pastor Herdman. So glad that you joined us today. And if you're online, of course, we are thankful that you've joined us this way as well. I want to preach this morning and be a blessing to you. And the Lord has been burdening my heart as I was preparing for this week, this message. And we have I preached, of course, on this passage. I'm going to preach on John 3:16. But you can turn there if you want, John chapter 3. But never preached about it like this, and trust the Lord will bless us. As you find your place in John chapter 3, then usually as you find your place there, I did hear the story about this lady that was in a car with a driving instructor. And he said, listen, ma'am, he said, hypothetically now, if you were driving down this parking lot and your husband and your brother were walking across from the store out to their car and you're driving that way, what is it that you hit first? And she thought and she thought and she thought. And she said, my husband. He said, ma'am, I've asked you that 3 times. You've answered it wrong every time. No, you hit the brake first, okay? So there you go. No laughter in here, no laughter out there, I'm sure, but it's funnier than you realize. So that's as good as the jokes get this morning. I'm sorry about that. John chapter 3, verse number 6 and 7, the Bible says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. That'll be my title for the message this morning. You must be born again. Look over, if you will, at verse number 15 in the same chapter. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever eternal life. Verse number 16, familiar verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, the judgment, if you will, the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Verse 20 and 21, talking about that person that doesn't come to that light because he doesn't want his deeds or his acts to be reproved or be examined, be looked at. But that person that's living in the light of the gospel, living their life in the way that God wants them to, they don't mind coming to the light. His deeds are made manifest and that they're wrought in God, that God is working him. It doesn't scare him. You take a child that's been, as far as they know, doing right while mom was in the other room. They come back and say, that child is not afraid to see mom come through the door. The other one that's been mischievous and has been doing this, that, and the other, and he's been acting the way that he knew mom didn't want him to. Now, when mom comes back in the door, that boy is a lot different because he doesn't want his deeds or his acts to be examined by mom. That's what the Word of God is saying here. Verse number 20, it says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, doesn't want that light to come shine on, lest his deeds should be reproved or looked at or examined or looked further into. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, comes unto mind living their life in the light of Jesus Christ, that his deeds may be made manifest or they can be made plain that they're wrought in God. So, as I mentioned in verse number 7, that phrase is given, you must be born again. Most of us know that this is in a reference to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the teacher, come to Jesus by night and ask him, says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. How else could you do these things except you were? And then Nicodemus gets the command and the teaching from Christ, you must be born again. Let me preach to you this message. Would you let me do that? And I trust the Lord will bless us as we get into it. Father, be with us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray we'd set aside distractions, whether we're in our living room, whether we're at the kitchen table. Dear Lord, there's a few here that have sung and things. I pray, dear Lord, you'd speak to our hearts now this morning. May you arrest our attention. Lord, may we truly get what you'd have us to in Jesus' name. Amen. the phrase born again comes in and out of vogue in the lives of religious people, and whether it's in or out of vogue is immaterial to me, but it's back in different decades, it was very popular when they described somebody who was a Christian. Oh, they're a born-again Christian. Well, it's a very biblical phrase, born again. I'm not worried about it being in or out of vogue because I want to be biblical, and that certainly is biblical. But I want to take you back this morning to make sure that you've got everything for that's necessary for eternal life. You think of the typical what you think of when you think of an old from the 70s maybe with an outfit that's loud and kind of obnoxious, a used car salesman. I'm talking about the one that you'd make old TV shows about and think, you're thinking about that guy. And he takes you to that car and he says everything that's got that car has. Oh, it's got beautiful chrome, it's got these wheels, it's got this, it's got all of these things. They're telling all the stuff that it might have, nice tires, power windows, etc., etc., etc. And then you get down to tell me what does the car run like? Well, now that's the only problem we got. The engine is gone. Can you understand how it doesn't really matter if your car's all chromed up and everything looks good? It's been buffed, it's been waxed, it's everything looks good. If the salesman says, only problem is we needed that engine, and so it got yanked, there's no engine. There's no power plant. Car's very little good. Well, you say, well, I'm a mechanic. I can put it in, I know. But for the sake of illustration, that car is not going to get you anywhere at that very moment because it doesn't have a power plant. Can I bridge that illustration to where many religious people are right now? Many religious people with churches, they're not full right now, but many times when in normal situations they are, full of people who are shiny. The chrome is shined. The wheels are nice. The accessories are all intact. They've dressed up to the nines. Everything is good. And they've got everything in line except in their individual soul, in their individual heart, they're not born again. From the outside, that car looked wonderful. But when you got into it and you depended on it to actually get you somewhere, it's not going to happen. And can I tell you that a lot of times us as church members, us folks that go in religious services, they're shined up. They look good from a distance. They look like, wow, that must be a wonderful religious guy. But if you don't have salvation, if you hadn't had this talk with Jesus like Nicodemus did, and you didn't sometime in your life come to a place where you realize, I've got to be born again. You say, I didn't even know what that phrase was when I got saved. You don't have to know what that phrase was. Maybe when somebody showed you, they didn't take you that particular passage. You say, I just knew I was a sinner and I didn't want to go to hell, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Well, you may not have known the terminology then, but you got born again if you came to Christ in salvation. But I'm telling you about that car salesman because we can shine things up. We can make them look good. We can make them we can make them appear like it's a very functioning car, just like we can take a church member. We put their name on the roll. We can make sure that they serve in some little capacity over here. We can ask them about all the things that they look like a Christian. But my friend, you don't get to heaven by looking like a Christian. You don't go to heaven by being a church member. You don't get to heaven. Curtis Hudson, an old preacher that's in heaven now, used to say you can be baptized in whatever creek it was down there to where every tadpole knew you by name, but you still wouldn't be a saved individual. Baptism and church membership and all of these don't do it. Those are the shiny chrome like on that car. But you need salvation. The Bible says you must be born again. And can I just let you know that there are many people steeped in religion. There's many people steeped in traditions. There's many people steeped in, Mama said I was because she told me this, that, and the other. Many people are steeped in their Sunday school role or their church membership role. Or my granddad's a preacher and I used to always go listen to him. Or I went forward in a service one time. Don't know what I did, but I went forward sometime. And I felt better after I came. But my friend, listen to me. If you've not been born again, the Bible says we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to show you this, number one, in verse number 16, that most familiar verse. I show you the need for salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you know the rest. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John chapter 3, verse number 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. an old preacher who's dead and in heaven now as well, told a story about how he would listen at his dad's little barber shop in Texas, of how when cowboys would come in, this would have been in the early 1900s, he said, listen, I'd just sit over there, little boy, listen to these cowpokes, cowhands and wranglers and whatnot as they'd come in. And he said, this preacher went on and told the story. He said, this particular fella had come in and told the story of this cowhand that would travel around with the boss man and travel around with the cowboys. And he said that he had been out on a particular duty and he came in to change mounts, meaning that about wore out, so he, for a while, needed to give that horse a rest, so he's going to change him. Got another one out of the corral, lassoed it, put a bridle on it, saddle on it, and started to ride out. But what he did not know, this young pony wasn't all the way broke. And so when he got just a little bit out of the corral, that pony horse started sidestepping and bucking a little, raring a little bit, and wasn't easy to stay on. But one thing a cowboy never wants to get is thrown. Well, they may fall off sometime if something happens and they're not counting on them. But when that pony starts bucking and sidestepping like that, they try their best to stay on. And this cowboy was no different. He stayed on and he stayed on as he'd rear and come back down and try to throw him off. And he stayed on. But one time he went back, the footing of that horse underneath him slipped and that horse came all the way back over. And the cowboy hung on. And the horse came all over and came right down on him and basically looked like it crushed him. And the horse quickly got off and ran off. And the cook from the little cattle camp saw what was happening. And he went out and scooped up the cowboy. The cook was a big fella and scooped up the cowboy and took him into the makeshift floor there where they'd eat or where they'd do whatever. And he could tell he was hurt, but what could a cook do? Couldn't do much. He said, I know how to cook, but I couldn't do much. And he took that little guy in there and put something under his head and just tried to talk to him. And by this time, blood was coming out of his mouth. He'd obviously crushed some organs. That cowboy had enough strength to talk. He said, Jake, you know that big black book that the boss reads at night and sometimes to us? And the cook said, yeah. He said, Jake, would you get that book? So Jake went out to the little little spot where it was and rummaged through some stuff and found that Bible that the boss man of the group would read at night and sometimes would read it to the men. And this cowboy knew enough about the gospel and knew enough about the Bible. He said, would you find John 3:16? And so that cook found that Jake found it, and he read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Jake the cook read it to him, and that cowboy said, Jake, would you put that Bible on my chest? Through labored breath, he was saying these words, and the cook did just that. He said, Jake, would you take my finger and put it? And his eyes were closed, but this time, would you take my finger and put it on John 3:16 where you just read? And he picked up his almost lifeless hand by this point and put it on John 3:16. He had one final request. He said, would you tell the boss man when he comes tonight that I died with my finger and my dependence, my finger, but my trust in John 3:16. This old preacher wrote a poem about it. One glad smile of pleasure over the cowboy's face was spread. One dark convulsive shadow, and the tall young lad was dead. Far from his home and family, they laid him down to rest with a saddle for his pillow and the Bible on his chest. My friend, it's been asked to me different times, or I've heard it asked in my presence, if you were to stand before God, would you have a Bible reason of why you should be going into heaven? Somebody asked us in the question answer time about people being saved at different times in this in the ages that come. But I'm asking you today, if you were to stand before the Lord, and the question, it doesn't get asked this way, because the Lord necessarily doesn't work in the, it doesn't work out this way. But if he did, you stood before him right now, and you got to enter or not enter. Again, that's not biblically correct. But if that were, what Bible answer would you give to say that's why I'm going to heaven. You know, it's going to be seem very, very futile to say, but I'm a member of such and such church. My grandpa was a preacher in the hills of West Virginia. You know, my dad and mom have had me in church ever since I was just a baby. All of those reasonings are going to come up dry. As Jesus told Nicodemus that night, that you must be born again. The solution is simple. For God so loved the world that He gave, He provided the solution, His only begotten Son. So I see this morning the need for salvation, every one of us. I show you number two in verse 18 and 19, the condemnation without salvation. Look at verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. That's the person that's saved, born again. After that colon, you see, it goes on, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light, Jesus is the light, is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. I see the condemnation without salvation. As I've mentioned, many of us have forgotten that salvation is needed for any of us to go to heaven. You don't clean up enough to go to heaven. You don't do enough good works to go to heaven. You don't be a church member long enough to go to heaven. The Bible says, Jesus, emphatic about it, you must be born again. The Scripture says very clearly that there's none righteous, no, not one. I want to show you this morning why we are condemned. It says we're condemned already. Why are we condemned? We're condemned because of our sin. Now we all think about, oh, look at that big sinner, and we're talking about acts that they do, sins plural. But I'm specifically talking tonight about that heart of sin. The Bible says, out of the heart, abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so the reason we do sins is because we have sin in our heart as an unsaved person. And the Bible says, Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. I know in our nation we don't like to admit our guilt. We don't want to say it was me. We don't want to say it's my fault. We don't want anybody pointing their finger and saying, you're the one. I know we bristle with that. But folks, without Christ, we're lost and undone. We're miserable, in need of a Savior. I say we're condemned without salvation because of our sin, but then we're also condemned without salvation because we don't follow God's command. The Scripture said in verse number 7, you must be born again. An emphatic command. Says in Acts, the Word of God says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, and this time of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Can I tell you this? For somebody who claims to be moral, God-fearing, but not saved, without salvation, they've disobeyed the simplest of commands that Jesus gave. He said to Nicodemus, in essence to everybody else, you must be born again. I'm not trying to instill doubt in anybody's heart. Lord knows I do not try to do that because I lived for years with doubt about my salvation. I'm not trying to get you to doubt that. I'm trying to make sure that you know that you're born again. And I see, number one, the need for salvation. I see verse 18, 19, the condemnation without salvation. And then in verse number 21, I see this, thirdly, the transformation of salvation. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, the Bible says in verse number 21. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a great evidence a changed life is that we've got salvation, that we've got it. And then you say, well, are you saying that you can look at somebody and tell that they're saved or not saved? I can't look at somebody's heart and tell whether they're saved or unsaved. That's God's business. But I can look at somebody and say, they look like a Christian. But knowing that me saying that doesn't mean they are. But I can tell you this, if you watch me long enough, you should see some evidences. You can't put me into heaven, and you can't put me into hell, either one, but if you watch me long enough as a pastor, let's back that up, as a Christian, you ought to say there's something different about that fella. And the Scripture says, he that doeth the truth cometh to the light. I put it like this. These two boys talking in Sunday school one time. And both of them got saved. Their Sunday school teacher led them to the Lord. And the one said to the other, said, "You know, sometimes I still do bad." He said, "I know, I do too." He said, "Well, I don't know what to do about that. I got saved." He said, "I did too." He said, "But there's something different about it." He said, "I know." And the other one said back to the other, he said, "Which way you mean?" He said, "Well, like this." He said, "I still sometimes pull my sister's hair." He says, "I know." He said, "But you know what? I can't feel good about it anymore." There's a work of the Holy Spirit in us. When you get saved, you get born again. And as I mentioned before, you don't mind your works coming into that light because you're trying to live for the Lord. My friend, that old songwriter said it like this, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came in." And this morning, I love the beautiful transformation of salvation. This week, I just could not get away throughout the week of the need. I've never preached this before. Just God gave it to me and seemed like I put it together this week through His leading. And here we are together online. And I want to ask you the most important question. Have you been born again? Again, in decades past, that was more popular, that phrase, than it is now. But it doesn't matter what it is. That's a Bible phrase. And so I ask you, have you been born again? Well, I didn't ask you if you're a church member. Didn't ask you if you joined many years ago. Didn't ask if you do this, that, the other. Have you been born again? Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse number 5, if you still got your scriptures open, it says this. There's the first birth is born of water. And then it goes on to say, and of the Spirit. Born of the water, that's the first time. Birth into this physical world. All of us have had that. But have you had that second birth? You say, "Pastor, preacher, what is that? Tell me for sure what it is." Here's it is. We were all born sinners, the Bible says, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." We were born sinners. You think that's not true? Then figure out why we don't ever have to tell kids to lie, why we don't ever have to tell them to take something from their sister or their brother. That's just in us, folks. We were born that way. That's the first birth, born of the water. But the Bible says that if we're going to get to heaven, we must be born of the Spirit. So that sinful way that we were born, that's put us in a predicament that can only be remedied by the second birth, the birth of the Spirit. And that is when our sins that we do, when our sins get forgiven by that second birth. Because all of our sins come up against the Lord. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins and my sins so that you and I could have our sins taken care of. But if I want that, then I must receive Christ as my Savior. Turn from myself, turn from my abilities, turn from everything else, and look to Christ. Receive Him for forgiveness of my sins. And when those sins are cast on Christ and He saves me, then I am birthed into the family of God. Can I walk down the mall and say, "That person, that person, that person, looks like they've been born again, born again, born"? No, I can't. That's because of spiritual birth. But Jesus said, you're born of the water and born of the Spirit. And if you're not both of those, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Why is it? Because it's commentary in verse number 6 about verse number 5. Why is it? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. If that's the only birth you have, the fleshly birth, I was born in 1973, if that had been the only birth I'd had, then I'd still be flesh. But praise the Lord, God revealed my sin to me. God showed me salvation, and through preaching and through the Word of God, I realized I need to be saved. And then that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So I've got a physical birth and a spiritual birth. And this morning, if you are with us, could I just ask you to stay tuned in right now to where you can do some analyzing of your life and ask yourself, was there ever a time when I was born again? Maybe you're 5. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're a teenager. Maybe you're at your mother's knee. Maybe it was at a church service sometime. Maybe it was at a revival. Maybe you're like my dad. It was at a serviceman center while he's in the Navy out in California. And you came, God convicted you of your sins, and you knew that you wanted to trust Christ as your Savior. You were born again, born in the family of God. My friend, I don't know where it happened. It happened all the same, but it happened all different for us. The circumstances around it were different. But the same thing happens. We put our faith in Jesus Christ alone. And I may never have a chance to preach to you again. Maybe this is the only time you've ever tuned in and you just happened to accidentally get on here this week. Let this question, or not this question, but this statement that the Word of God says, let this stick with you. Marvel not, Jesus said to Nicodemus, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That's verse number 7. John chapter 3, verse number 16. I've seen so many football games on TV where people would put over one of those balconies a big old banner that some Christian or a couple Christians had decided they were going to get the word out. And they unfold that banner over one of those balconies of those stadiums, and it would say the word John 3:16. John 3:16. And what they were thinking, if somebody's watching that on TV, maybe the curiosity would get it. Would get the best of them, and they would have to go see what John 3:16 meant. Well, this morning as I leave you, I give it to you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That believeth in Him. Oh, it doesn't mean that, oh, I believe there was a person, Jesus, one time back there. That phrase just means believeth in, relies, depends, then that person that they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ could do what verse number 7 says, be born again. I ask you to take inventory on your life. Was there a time when you were born again? If you look back in this morning, you can remember, yes, there was. I don't remember the date, preacher. I'm not saying you remember the date. It's easy for us to forget those things. But you say, yes, I was born again. This morning, I'm asking you to rejoice in your soul that you've done what Christ said. You've got born again. Maybe you'd like to call in and rejoice with us about that. Our phone number is 423-477-3311. Or you can email prayer@brbc.us. You like, just call in and say, listen, I'm saved, and I just want to praise the Lord for that. We'd love to hear from you. But this morning, as you take an inventory of your life, you say, I've been in church for a long time. I'm a preacher's kid, missionary's kid, evangelist. Grandpa was a pastor of an old Methodist church up in the hills. Uncle used to take me to church all the time. I've been to that church some. I don't. The scenarios are endless. But if you're there today and you say, I don't think I've never been born again. Can I just rehearse with you again? Number one, we were all born the first time as sinners. Sooner or later, you get up to a point, age, where you realize, hey, I'm responsible for these things. I don't know what that age is. Somewhere there, you come to it eventually. Then you understand that before God, you're guilty. Our sins are against Him. And then, when you understand that, you realize that Jesus truly was who He said He was, the Savior. Came to take away the sins of the world, came to be your Savior. And if you're realizing that today, and you'd like to turn to Christ, turn from your ability, turn from all the things that you can do, you've been trying on your own, it's like to turn to Christ. The Bible says, Romans 10:13, that verse of wretched, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John chapter 3, verse number 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Are you putting your faith, your confidence, your belief, turning from all your ability and turning to Christ alone for forgiveness of your sins? If you are, my friend, if you're thinking that way, can I challenge you, number one, to do it. Number two, to realize that you didn't come up with this idea on your own. The Lord is leading you to that. Would you obey? Would you bow your heads there wherever you are, if it's safe and you're able to? If you're here today listening, watching, and you'd like to take Christ as your Savior, right there where you are, would you simply believe who you are, number one, the sinner. Believe that your sins are going to drag you to a devil's hell one of these days. But also believe that Jesus died for you. He didn't just die for mankind in general. He died for you personally and mankind. Was buried and rose again. And would you, knowing that, put your trust, your faith, your belief, your dependence in Him? And would you say, Lord, I need You to save me? As our piano player begins to play, and if God's dealing with your heart,